Tonight, if you will, let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 15. Romans, chapter 15, this evening. As you were turning there, obviously, Paul was a man of massive power of the Lord and was used in some magnificent ways and did some unbelievable things, and many souls were saved. And you would think Paul probably had need of nothing. So many people think, whether it's the pastor, they're just right with God. They don't have health issues. They don't have any problems. They don't have anything. However, that's not the case. Several times Paul wrote and asked people of God to pray for him. Here's a man that it's ahead of the pack, if you will, spiritually speaking, yet he feels the need to have fellow believers battling for him in prayer. I appreciate tonight. Our church does the same thing on Wednesday night. Have a prayer bulletin. We go over it. We talk about it and intercede for one another. And I appreciate that. And this, Lord willing, this passage will remind us of the importance of intercessory prayer, that we will get busy praying about the needs and the lives of those around us. We get selfish and self-centered. Oh, I'll pray for me and my needs. And, well, I'll spend time praying for my family. But a little kid needs some shoes. Are you kidding me? I've been there. Youth pastor, no money, and just trying to make it three kids and trying to make things happen. But once again, Paul here, chapter 15, follow me in the last couple of verses of chapter 15, verse 30. Paul says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints, and that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." We look at this portion of Scripture, and Paul's closing out this plea to the Roman Christians, and he says, "Will you pray for me? Will you pray for me?" You know, tonight I want you to see, first of all, the diligence in prayer. Number one, diligence in prayer. Paul says that he beseeches them to join with him in praying for the work of the ministry. This is a strong word. To beseech means to implore, to beg, crying out. It's the same word used in Romans 12:1. Paul calls them to present their bodies a living sacrifice. You know, here they are called to join him in the ministry of prayer. We think about that, man, ministry. Oh, God's called me to preach or teach a Sunday school class or work in the nursery. We don't seem to think many times prayer is a ministry. Do you know that's one of the hardest things you will do in your Christian life? Prayer. You can show up for church, you can check the box, but all of a sudden you want to try to spend five minutes in prayer. Your mind is all over the place. You're bombarded with things that you're thinking, how in the world or why in the world is that in my brain? Satan does not want you praying. He knows the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. And he doesn't want you praying, especially interceding for somebody else. You know, Paul is saying, "I need your help. I'm drafting you to come alongside me and help me pray about some things." It's like a halfback in a football game. He may be fast, he may be talented, but if he doesn't have someone blocking for him, he's going to get tackled in real short order. The quarterback and running back get all the glory, but those linemen open the lines up and blocking, that's why they score. Paul didn't get where he was without prayer and didn't get there without prayers of others. We look at Paul and think, man, I could never be a Paul. You could be a prayer for your pastor, a prayer for somebody else. You may not be called to preach. You may not have your name on the tracks or name on the sign or whatever, but you can be a prayer warrior. And Paul's asking them. But I want you to see, he tells them this, he isn't asking selfishly about needing their prayers. He wants them to know he's asking because he wants Jesus to receive all the glory. He says, "I beseech you, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake." He says, it's not about me. It's all about the Lord Jesus. He said, "I want to serve him. I want to do his will. I want to go where he wants me to go. And I'm asking you to come alongside me and pray that that happens." Paul's request isn't for himself, but for the glory of God. My friends, that should be the overriding theme of every prayer we pray. It's not about me. I mentioned before, we going into surgery, praying for the surgeon, praying for the recovery, praying for all of that, but still praying, I want God's will to be done. I'm getting way ahead of myself again. He also says, Jesus' sake and for the love of the Spirit. The love of the Spirit. When we are saved and the Spirit of God indwells within us, one of the first things He does is give us a love for the people of God. So prayer should be birthed out of a desire to glorify God and out of love for God's people. We come tonight and we pray, but we also give answers to prayers. We were praying last week for the job. Guess what? He got the job. Praise the Lord. Praying for surgery. Many people have surgery coming up. And it's, once again, we sit there and He's saying, I want you to strive with me in prayer. This word carries the idea of entering into a fight with someone else. It's the same word from which we get our English word, agony. It pictures prayer as wrestling. Once again, I just said, one of the hardest things you'll do in your Christian life is to have a consistent prayer life. It's easy to pray when it's for you. Got surgery coming up and potential life-threatening. They may or may not make it, this, that, and the other. It's, oh, you can spend time praying. But when somebody else says, hey, can you pray for me about this? Oh, sure, I'll pray for you. Out the door you go, in your car, go eat. Is that somebody doing something today? Somebody asked you, what was that prayer request? We were only concerned about ourselves. And we look at this, and once again, prayer is an opportunity to enter into spiritual warfare with the devil. Prayer is our opportunity to stand tall in the power of God and fight battles against the enemy that we cannot see. It is our opportunity to win battles that we cannot fight with our hands. Like I said, it's like entering into a battle, but it's not a flesh and blood. And so once again, I don't have to be muscular and strong or big and powerful. I have a God that is. And I just say, Lord, I'm asking you to meet the need in their life. I can't meet it. I can't fix it. I can't make the health issue, the financial issue. I can't fix it, but you can. And Paul's saying, you know, I know what God's called me to do, and He is willing to do it. But He says, I want you to come along with me. He gives number two the details in this prayer. He says that I may be delivered from them that would not believe in Judea, and that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints, and that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God. We look at this and see Paul was not asking just a generalized prayer. Oh, just pray for me. Think about that for a minute. He takes time to tell the believers exactly what he wants them to pray for. By the way, prayer ought to be specific. You know, I think about this. Oh, Lord, and bless me today. And what if he says, how? Just pour out blessings. What kind? What do you need blessings for? Pray that I don't stop breathing today. Pray, you know, whatever it may be, praying specific things. We ought not be afraid to name our request to the Lord. If we do not do that, how are we going to know when they're answered? Think about that. So, Lord, just bless this day. What does that mean? It's going to be 110? What does the blessing mean? So if I say, God, I'm praying that, for example, tomorrow I'm flying back to Alaska. I'm already praying for the pilot to get a good night's sleep. I'm praying I make we don't leave, we don't land at Alaska until almost midnight. And one, I'm praying specifically. It's like, oh, just bless the flight. What does that mean? Notice the three specific areas in which Paul asked for prayer. He said, may be delivered for them that do not believe. Paul was asking that his walk might be protected. Paul knew that he was walking into the lion's den. There were people in Jerusalem who hated Paul and the message that he preached and would stop at nothing to kill him. You don't believe me? Acts 23:21. For they lie in wait for him, that more than 40 men which have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink until they have killed him. I didn't miss a meal today. I drank lots of water today. To make an oath that I'm not going to eat or drink until Paul is dead. So when Paul says, oh, just pray I get a safe trip. No, he says, there are people lying in wait to kill me. I'm still going, he says. I'm still going to be obedient to God. I still know that God has a plan for my life and I want to be obedient. But once again, there's 40 men determined to kill Paul. They hated him and he's praying for protection. This is the same kind of praying needed today. God's people are still being attacked by a spiritual enemy. 1 Peter 5:8, once again, he's a lion seeking whom he may devour. People need prayer. Your preacher needs prayer. Kind of like Paul, you think, oh, he's got no problems. He's right with God. He's all just blessings pour out on him. It must be nice to be the pastor. Have no worries, no problems. Do you realize if the devil can get him to fall, the domino effect of the whole entire church? Not saying you will fall, but now you're shepherdless. There's nobody there to fight the battle for you, to intercede on your behalf, to be there to protect as much as he can as the earthly shepherd. We need to pray for our church. We need to pray for our pastor. We need to pray for one another. But secondly, that Paul's work might prosper, he asks. His next item of prayer is he's taking an offering to the church of Jerusalem. They had raised an offering. You see that verse 25 through 27. And he's taking this back to the people there. Now, why would they have a problem with an offering? Well, because first of all, the unbelieving Jews wanted Paul dead. That's part of the problem. And the believers were still a little leery of Paul, knowing his past and who he is. Like, wait a second, what are you trying to do? He merely wants them to pray that God will open doors and soften hearts. Right. Oh my goodness. Is that what you're praying? The pastor mentioned having visitors that come in that have kids. And if there's no children's ministry, I know it's not about a program or what have you. It's about the preaching of the Word of God and seeing souls saved. But once again, if they're coming in and there's not a need that can be met, they may move on somewhere else. That's just the fact across churches. But it's like, are we praying? God, open doors and soften hearts. Because I think, I used to be the youth pastor, and that when you're starting building that one teenager doesn't want to be the only teenager. You don't want to be all by himself or just two of them. How do you have a youth activity with two? Ping pong? I mean, you're limited on many things you can do. But you got to start somewhere. You got to start building. And once again, praying that those doors will open, that God will put it on somebody's heart. He already mentioned tonight again, there's area of service. People are moving. People are traveling. Whether it's Sunday school, whether it's nursery, filling the pulpit, whatever it is. Open doors and soften hearts. Paul knows what he's doing. He knows where he's going. And so once again, when we need the same kind of prayer. Pray when the preacher's preaching. Pray when the teacher's teaching. Pray when the singers are singing. They're preparing the hearts to receive the Word of God. It's not like, oh, we got three more songs and then it's just going through a program. It's on purpose. The speakers are on purpose. The air conditioning's on purpose. Everything is on purpose that the Word of God can go forward and be proclaimed and that people might get saved. It's all on purpose. And Paul's saying, I need you to pray. I need you to come alongside, strive together with me, that I'll be protected from the enemy, that I can get to where I need to do to make this delivery. And lastly, that God's will might prevail. Amen. He said, I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Amen. Paul wants to come to Rome if it's the will of God. He wants to meet these saints if it's the will of God. He wants to rejoice with them if it's the will of God. So Paul asked them to pray that God's will be done in all these areas. He speaks of this joy and refreshment. These things exist where the will of God is being carried out. Above all, above everything, yes, he's saying, pray for my safety. I know there's people lying in wait to kill me. I know I've got to get this delivered, these funds back, but I want God's will to be accomplished. Above all, that's what I want God to do. We all have things we think we want to see the Lord do at this church. However, may all of our prayers be tempered by the will of God. We don't just start a ministry. We don't just start doing something. God, we want your hand in this. We want your leading in this. We want your will to be done. Doesn't mean, oh, now we have to have the biggest youth ministry to attract all the... What you use to get them, you got to keep doing to keep them. So once again, it's got to be built around the Word of God and obviously the will of God. And then lastly, the delight in prayer. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. This final verse is a glimpse of Paul's heart. He is able to leave these matters in the hand of God and rest in the assurance that God will take care of whatever it is, his situation or the Roman believers. This final verse is something of a prayer. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. It is breathed by the apostle on behalf of the church, and it teaches us about some valuable components that need to be included in our prayer life. Paul isn't crying out in despair. He's not throwing his arms up in defeat. He's telling these peoples, I have committed these matters to God, and I am at rest. I am at rest. I appreciate the lady back there. Whether I get healed down here or I get healed up there, that's all to God. We can't explain. Preachers can't explain. We can't sit there and say, this is why God heals some and doesn't heal others. God's got a perfect plan. And the fact that he may allow some people to go through certain situations or illnesses or whatever it may be to give God the glory. I mentioned that last week about who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind. Neither. But that God could be glorified. That God would get the glory for whatever it was, in sickness and death or in health and healing, whatever it may be. But he says, rest in the peace of God. Paul's on his way to Jerusalem. He does not know what will happen when he gets there. For all he knows, he might be killed or badly wounded, but he is able to rest in the arms of God no matter what. He's also able to take these Roman Christians in the midst of their persecution, and he's able to tell them, hey, God can take care of you too. There's a lesson for you and I as we labor in prayer before the Lord. When we have prayed about a matter in faith and we've committed it to the will of God, we can have peace in our hearts. You know how many people ask me, not in my own church and everywhere I've traveled, what are you going to do next? What are you going to do next? What are you going to, where are you going to go? Where are you going to live? I have no idea. I do not know, but God does. And he's taken care of me all this time. It's not like he's going to fall asleep and forget about me. He knows exactly what he's doing. And Paul's saying, hey, you can have the same peace. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. Now, once again, I mentioned this last week. He may not answer in the way we want him to. But can I tell you, he will always do what is right with the things we ask of him. He will always make the right choice. He will always make the right decision. When he's saying, I want you to do this, you're going, I don't think that's a good idea. I'm not God. He is. And where God guides, God provides. Amen. So if this is what God wants, it's my job. Yes, Lord. Think about Peter. Bid me come on the water. Come. What, now I have to get out of the boat? Yes, you got to get out of the boat now. Well, how do I know? You're the one who said, bid me come to the water. He says, come. I tell you what, when you step out of that boat the first time, and you step out and God catches you, how much easier is it the next time he says, come? Yes, Lord. You provided. You protected. You did whatever I needed to do the first. It's that step of faith. And for each one of us tonight, it's a different step. I think about the pastor once again praying for him. What the spiritual battle he is in. The devil wants to get, not just him, he wants to get all of you, don't get me wrong. But he definitely wants him. Pray for your pastor. When I became the youth pastor, obviously I prayed for my pastor all the time. That's the man of God. That was my role model, my example. Prayed for him all the time. And then God called me to become the pastor. And I talked to him before. He goes, you know, sitting on this side of the desk is totally different than standing on that side of the desk. All you can go in his office, you can talk, here's what you ought to do, preacher. This is what I think is best. And you can have all the ideas you want. Then I had to sit on the other side of the desk. I went there 10 days, called my pastor, bawling my eyes out. I didn't pray for you like I should have. I prayed for you, but not like I should have. And he may not stand up here and say, hey, I need prayer in this. Paul lays it out. People want to kill me. I got to be obedient to God's will. People are not happy about that. Will you please strive together with me for the glory of God, for the Jesus Christ's sake, not for him, that he can brag, oh, the 40 men, guess what? You're going to starve to death because you're not killing me. He wasn't arrogant. He wasn't cocky. He said, will you please pray for me? I've got to be obedient to God's will. And I'm asking you to pray. Tonight we've mentioned many prayer requests. We've mentioned, I mentioned last week, you've got a lengthy list. I don't know how you spend 5 minutes in prayer and think you're done. If you just prayed down the list and just read them and just named them one, pray for so-and-so, pray for so-and-so, pray for, it's probably 5-10 minutes just right there. And you haven't elaborated. You haven't gone into the ones you actually know personally and the ones you don't know. Paul records down, I'm asking you to pray for me. Paul wants them to know they can count on God to be with them as he travels and with them as they wait to hear from him again. He merely wants them to know that having God is far more valuable than anything God can give you. Can I tell you what? You and I have the same assurance as we go through life. There are times when the situation may look totally hopeless. God, I don't know how you're going to do this. I don't even see a way financially. I don't see a way medically. I don't know how you're going to. With God, all things are possible. God, all, when they got to the Red Sea, we can't go forward. We can't go back. God said, let me fix this. Just part this water. Amen. And it wasn't enough just to part the water. They walked across on dry ground. Amen. That's my God. Paul, once again, if you leave God out of the picture, it does seem hopeless. I don't know how this is going to happen. I can still say, I mean, that's all it's going to happen, but I trust God. Amen. I trust God. He said, he'll never leave us or forsake us. Never give us more than we can handle. And I want to encourage you tonight, as Paul was asking those folks in Rome to be praying for him, not to just leave you hanging, did God answer those prayers? Yes, he did. You look back in the book of Acts, in Acts 21 through 23, he was protected just like he had prayed. He was well received by the church of Jerusalem, Acts 21, 17. He was able to rejoice with the Roman Christians in the Lord's time, Acts 28, 15. Yes, God heard these prayers from Paul and from the church, and they were answered. Praise God. They can be answered specifically. I want to encourage you to read your Bible. Read the whole thing. You find out, okay, you got to connect Acts and Romans and Corinthians. And where was he here when Titus and Timothy? And oh, that all just lines up perfectly. Paul, once again, can talk from firsthand experience. Your pastor, same thing on the mission field, watching God provide over and over and over. And that same God on the mission field can do the same thing right here in Goodyear. But just like Paul said, will you intercede? Will you come along? Will you strive together for me in prayer? You pray for your church. You pray for your pastor. And you pray for one another. And rejoice when you come back next week and those surgeries, they came through, everything was great. Yes, that sounds good, but maybe there was complications. Maybe they got to stay in the hospital. You're thinking, God, where were you? God's still on the throne. God doesn't make mistakes. God knows exactly what he's doing. And through your testimony, if you can rejoice, even when it doesn't look like anything can be, you talk about shocking the world. And the doctors, everybody's going, how are you still praising God? Because I'm still going to heaven. My soul is still saved. Salvation has been purchased by my Heavenly Father. It's all up to him. If he says your time is up, your time is up. If he says I'm not finished with you yet, forget about those 40 men that are lying in wait. I got a plan for you. And nothing is going to stop it. Amen and amen. Pray, pray, pray. Take that bull tonight. Don't just check the box. No, tomorrow. Ours is broken down by days of the week. You take all 500 of them you have on there. And the first 25 is Monday. The next 25 is Tuesday to help our people. I can't pray for all. You can pray for 10 or 15 of them. Now, obviously, if it's on tomorrow's a surgery, pray for that one. But I'm saying, breaking it down. Because prayer is work. It's spiritual battle. And it's not for the lighthearted. I want to encourage you, get in the battle. Pray, pray, pray. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you once again for the opportunity to proclaim your word. I do pray for harvest. Lord, my heart's been knit already just this month I've been here. And Lord, I pray you will meet the needs. Each and every one here, but help us to intercede. Help us to battle in prayer. Strive together for your will to be done in our lives and in this church. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand together. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed.